Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
This is Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We're talking Ole Miss and Mississippi State for the next half hour or so. Logan, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, Parrish. Still trying to get to football season. Still got a couple weeks away. I think it's 17 days or something like that. We're counting it down here in Starkville, trying to get ready because I'm ready to see the team. I don't get to see them as much as you do in Oxford. Dan Mullen closes everything down pretty much this time of year, and I'm ready to see what I've been writing about. All this time, some of it's guesswork, and some of it's a lot of educated guesswork, but I'm ready to actually see the on-field product and find out what the Bulldogs are all about.
Well, Logan, when I hear you talk about how closed practice is at State, I'm grateful for the few open periods we do have at Ole Miss. Some of them are beneficial. I mean, you can see some things, get an idea of who's playing and who's not there. You do that roll call every day. There's still a little bit of evasiveness. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Before we move on, folks, I want to remind you about a couple of other productions of the Daily Journal. Check out The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi. That's been coming to you with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, Logan, but we got some change coming. We'll talk about that as well. Also, there's Prep Rally for your high school sports needs with Dalton Middleton, a new addition to our staff. We're excited to have Dalton there as well. Check out those podcasts from the Daily Journal. Talking about change, Logan, Brad Locke is coming home, and I'm eager to see he and Dan Mullen in the same room so he can ask about injuries. What do you think that'll be like?
Yeah, we watched that clip. That's still something that the few of us that are still left from that time that were on the beat when all that happened, we actually watched that clip the other day just to relive that moment. That was 5 years ago. It seems like even longer than that. But, yeah, that's when that happened. That's the day that Dan Mullen stormed out of the press conference about a little over a minute into the thing, got up and walked out and didn't actually make it out the door, just kind of lingered around the door and ended up making his point and ended up sitting back down and talking for another 10 minutes or so that day. But, after that day, after he blew up about the injury questions, he was fine the rest of that year. That was 2012, and he was well behaved the rest of the season. And I think that was one of our first meetings in fall camp, and it was a funny moment.
Well, that is a classic, and I've watched the clip again too, and have seen it many times. And it's like Dan wanted to leave but didn't want to leave. It's like, I'm going to leave, but if you ask me just a little bit, I'll stay. So it kind of had that look about it. Look, practice is a little more open at Ole Miss. Like I said, it is helpful to get out there. We see the team a couple of times a week, not at every practice. We're able to go in and when you just have those 8 to 10 periods that you can watch, you at least get an idea of who is at practice that day and who is not. Now, all coaches handle that differently. We call it the roll call. Houston Nutt, the way he did it, I loved it, Logan, because, they would stretch by position on the depth chart. In other words, at quarterback, it would be the starter would be in the front line, and then the number two and the number three, that's how they'd be in stretch lines. So you could watch them stretch and get an idea of where things were with that. But, we are able to see them in position work, and usually for one series of 11-on-11, a few plays like that. And, earlier this week, we were able to see some different things they're doing at the tight end position. We'll talk about that a little bit with an injury to Dawson Knox. Talking about the journal a little bit, Logan, and those changes coming. Brad Locke is coming back to sports, and, we're excited to welcome him back. He's been the online editor. And, it's just different with Gene Phelps not there. Logan, I go into the office a little bit, but every now and then I'll stop and just and work inside there. And it is extremely quiet with Gene having retired. Dalton will come in a little bit later and he doesn't talk as much right now. Gene was that just storyteller and was always laughing and cutting up. And so it's really different in that little corner of the cube farm right now with Gene having retired. Brad will come back. He's going to do a lot of high schools. He'll do some college and other things too, and you know, basically do some long form and some features and kind of give us some things that we haven't had in a long time in the section. So we're excited to have Brad back. So changes there at the Journal. Dalton Middleton's doing a great job as well. Really, Logan, I think he's had a really nice presence on Twitter, kind of building up you know, his base in social media there as he's gone out to these high schools and has promoted his coverage that way. So interesting changes coming for the Journal, and we'll have good coverage for you every weekend. Logan, I'm going to start with injuries. I know you don't get to talk about injuries much, but they are a talking point at Ole Miss right now, kind of piling up a lot of what I call camp injuries, a sprain here, a stretched something there, the kind of things that usually will keep you out for a few days. What we see a lot more of these days is concussion protocol because coaches are so careful with that. Well, when you have a player enter that, he's going to be out for several days. Ole Miss has several in that right now. So we're hearing from Matt Luke that a lot of these injuries are minor and that they're manageable and players are going to be out for a few days and they'll work back in. It doesn't sound right now that anyone is threatened with losing playing time against South Alabama on September 2nd, with the possible exception of Dawson Knox, the tight end who will replace Evan Engram, in as much as one person will be able to do that, had a foot injury in the scrimmage this past week. And they're kind of being evasive on that a little bit. Matt told us on Tuesday that he would know more about Dawson's injury late Tuesday or early Wednesday. We haven't heard any word on that as of this moment, but it's kind of ironic that you would be so concerned with the playing time of a walk-on who really appeared in only six games last year. But that's the kind of athlete that Dawson Knox is. And to watch him in this camp, the other ironic thing is that he was a walk-on to start with. And you know, if you want to know something about Dawson Knox and his background to kind of help you understand the athlete that he is, know that he won a dunk contest in high school at Brentwood Academy outside of Nashville. At 6'4", 250, he won a dunk contest. Probably wasn't quite that big then, but still a big kid, and that just gives you an idea of the type of athleticism that he has. They really like the speed and strength that Knox brings to the position, and they could be without him for a while. So we'll see how they're going to handle that earlier in the week in 10 media viewing periods at practice on Tuesday. It looked like they were using Jason Pellerin differently, and Gabe Angel, the redshirt freshman tight end, was getting more reps as well. But Pellerin, they've talked about moving him to tight end, made a big show about this quarterback. They're going to move him over here, get him on the field because he's an athlete, and all that's true. But they had planned to use him more as kind of an H-back, kind of a guy that might go in motion, line up in the backfield, something like that. But really someone who was going to be more of a pass-catching threat. But we saw him in practice breaking down inside and putting a block on a lineman and springing Devon Penniman for an inside run. So I think that's something to be aware of, maybe a changing role for Jason Pellerin as long as Dawson Knox is out, and we don't know how long that's going to be. But a lot of other names right now missing time, guys who are expected to contribute. You're going to recognize these names. Benito Jones, took a hit to the head in that scrimmage, went to the hospital, had x-rays to make sure he did not have a spinal injury. He has entered concussion protocol. Greg Little has been in concussion protocol for several days. Also in that right now is freshman cornerback D.D. Bowie, a guy that's expected to get on the field and help out. So a lot of guys with sprains or stretches or things like that. Jordan Wilkins, a guy they really need to stay healthy at running back, has not been at practice for about a week, as much as we can tell. But we're told that he's okay, that that he could practice, but they're holding him out, and that's a smart thing to do as well. When you have a guy like that that you want to count on, no sense in putting him in harm's way more than necessary. Now, Logan, I know you don't get to talk about injuries right now, but what can you tell us about camp at State?
Well, I can tell you that I'm still waiting on a roster, Parrish. It's not very long to actually, we get on the field. You know, September the 2nd, you know, Mississippi State takes the field, and we didn't have a roster yet. So, yeah, things are, it's tough, right now. We don't get to talk. We don't have access to practice. Don't even have a roster right now. So it's kind of hard to be a Mississippi State beat writer right now. But I guess what I can tell you is what Dan Mullen said about last week's scrimmage. They scrimmaged last Tuesday. We talked to him Thursday night about that scrimmage, and he's not much of a name dropper. So if you ask him specifically about a player, he'll talk about it. But he's not much of a name dropper over the years. But he did drop a couple of names that kind of highlighted that scrimmage last Tuesday, and that was a couple of redshirt freshman wide receivers, Osiris Mitchell and Reggie Todd. Osiris Mitchell, he said, made several plays in that scrimmage, and Reggie Todd made one unbelievable play. So those are two guys that they need to step up to play really well. They're both 6'4". They got Jamal Couch, who played a little bit last year as a true freshman. He was in that class. He's another 6'4 receiver. They need those guys to step up and be another receiving threat for them. A big, tall receiving threat in the red zone. They need those guys, especially with the Fred Ross leaving. Not that Fred Ross was a 6'4 receiver, but he was so much into that offense, so much of a big part of it. They really need him to step up, especially with Nick Fitzgerald trying to improve upon that 54% completion percentage that he had a year ago. And, that was a big encouragement, that Dan Mullen dropped those names and talked about those freshmen, because those are two guys that they really needed to play well this season. Yeah, we talked to Todd Grant, the Mississippi State's new defensive coordinator, on Friday about that scrimmage, and he talked about the play of his outside linebackers. He's kind of using those outside linebackers a little bit differently than we saw a year ago. He's kind of that hybrid outside linebacker defensive end position. Right now he's got Marquise Spencer, Montez Sweat, Gary Green, Trevor Jung, and Aaron Odom playing that position. He talked about just how much that position is going to be relied upon to get some pass rush this year. They really didn't have that great of a pass rush last year. Really, the whole defense last year was kind of a confusing situation with Peter Sermon leading that thing. They had athletes on that side of the ball. It was just really surprising just how badly they played on defense, because you looked at the personnel and they all looked pretty good, and they were just so far out of position and just didn't look like they were even had the right game plan type of call. So I blame that mostly on the coaching staff of just calling the wrong plays. And that could be expected with Peter Sermon. That was his first time being a defensive coordinator, first time calling those plays. I do think he'll be a good defensive coordinator down the road, but maybe was just kind of thrown into the mix a little bit too early in the big bad league called the SEC. So we'll have to kind of monitor it and see how he does at Louisville this year. Obviously, that's where Todd Grantham came from, but Todd Grantham has a whole lot of experience on the college and NFL levels. And I think the players are kind of have bought into his defense. I think that they were kind of embarrassed with the way they played last year, and really want to make amends for that, just get back out there and prove that they are the defense that they can be. And, they're going to scrimmage again today. We'll find out. We're supposed to talk to Dan Mullen on Friday, so I'll have a little bit more of an update of kind of how things have went. We don't get to watch practice. I've seen two practices this fall, and I've seen about an hour's worth of practice, and they've all been individual drills. So I haven't seen any 11-on-11 anything. Haven't even seen 7-on-7 anything. So everything I've seen has been individual drills, and just haven't seen a whole lot. So I'm ready to get out there September 2nd and find out what I can about this team.
Do you think they're going to get the pass rush from the end position to really make that 3-4 work?
A little bit. It just depends on the personnel that they use at defensive end. Montez Sweat, a guy that I mentioned at outside linebacker, Todd Grantham mentioned he could play defensive end as well. So, yeah, he's really the guy that they've talked the most about getting a pass rush. He's a guy that, you know, played at Michigan State and ended up transferring out to Colin, played there last year, and he's just really a tall – he's about 6'6", probably, you know, in the 250-260 range. He's a big guy, can move really well. So they're really expecting some big things from him to come in and play immediately. And he also talked about rushing his middle linebackers as well, but he just said that those middle linebackers won't rush as much as the outside linebackers, but they'll get a lot of, you know, they'll kind of pick and choose when they decide to rush those middle linebackers. He calls those middle linebackers Mike and Money. And I thought it was kind of surprising that Leo Lewis is playing the money linebacker position. I thought that was pretty funny. But, yeah, but yeah, you know, going back, he's always called that position money. So, you know, it really has nothing to do with Leo Lewis. But I just thought that was amusing that he was playing that position.
Look, Logan, we've all been in a camp or trying to cover a camp where the access has been limited or camp's been completely closed. I can remember Ed Ogeron back at Ole Miss when he was the coach there. Of course, he came in with the promise of access and this completely open program. Everything was going to be done the way it was done at USC, and that lasted about a year. And I can remember the next year after that, you know, everything just kind of shut down. And some of those press conferences right after a practice were just comical because we're trying to phrase a question in any way to get any kind of information about what went on inside. And Ed was just smiling and, you know, and told us, look, I'm going to be lying to you guys sometime. Don't take it personal. You know, I'm not going to tell you what's going on in there. I mean, so it was really interesting. And the only way you can cover a closed training camp like that is to focus on the words he said and just, you know, you just write what they say and make sure you get that attribution in there because, you know, you're not in a position to, you know, write down your own thoughts and observations. So anyway, look, I know you're just going on what the players are saying right now. So, so think on this a little bit while I talk about a couple of Ole Miss standouts. If you have any camp surprises that you can share with us, we're going to get back to that. I'm looking at Ole Miss right now, and I guess two surprises of camp so far would be defensive tackle Josiah Cotney, a junior college transfer who redshirted last year. I know you had one like that, Logan, with Martinez Rankin on the offensive line, but you don't see that very often with junior college players. They don't typically come in and redshirt, but Cotney did. Had a little injury he was trying to heal from as well, and there was some depth on the defensive line. But you know, this is a guy that you just hadn't been able to see much at Ole Miss, and now he's looks like he could take a starting position away from Breland Speaks. Breland Speaks was a guy they were extremely high on, you know, coming out of a spring. They talked about his renewed energy after what was kind of a disappointing sophomore season for him in 2016. You know, really a strong spring for Breland Speaks, so strong that they sent him to SEC Media Days and made him one of their spokesman for the team. They send three players to that event, and Speaks was one along with Javon Patterson and Shea Patterson. But now Speaks has been running second team behind Cotney most of camp. That changed this week with the injury to Benito Jones, but it wasn't just a temporary thing. When we first saw it, Matt Luke told us, well, we're just trying to create depth at that position and give people opportunities and motivate people. Well, it wasn't just a 1 or 2 day thing there for Josiah Cotney. He remained with the ones. He was already with the ones, you know, before the Benito Jones injury. So that did put Breland Speaks back into the lineup with the first team in practice this week. So a good camp for Cotney, holding his own against the run, getting some good push there in the pocket as well. And another guy who has stood out to me in camp, Logan, has been DeMarcus Lodge, the wide receiver. You look at Lodge, who, going back to that 2015 recruiting class, some websites had him rated the number 2 wide receiver in the country. others, 6 or 7. I mean, but right there firmly, you know, inside the top 10 and really almost the top 5 among available wide receivers in that 2015 class. You know, that guy signing with Ole Miss, you know, in recent history would be a star, might go on to become one of the top receivers in the history of the program. But again, Ole Miss has recruited so well to that position, you know, the last few years that Lodge really should have redshirted in 2015, but he did not. And he got stuck behind some upperclassmen, didn't get a lot of playing time, and has only 15 catches over those first 2 years. He's had a really good camp. And what we're seeing a lot lately is DeMarcus Lodge lined up on the outside with A.J. Brown, the sophomore, who is much bigger at 6'1", 225, on the inside. And I think that's something you're going to see in games. I think you're going to see A.J. Brown at one of those slot receivers. They really like the mismatch potential that he brings to a linebacker. And Brown is their best yards after contact receiver. He's the guy that's going to give them a chance to break a tackle and make a big play after the catch. So I think that's an interesting lineup there. We've seen DK Metcalf on the other end, 6'4", you know, having a great camp. He caught a long touchdown pass from Shea Patterson in the 11-on-11 work that we saw in Tuesday's practice. And I've seen him multiple times make catches when he appeared to be covered. Guy's going to be with him step for step, going to have good position. And Metcalf has made the catch anyway. So as a whole, the receivers have played well for Ole Miss this camp. You would expect them to. Lots of talent and highly rated players there. But it has been interesting to watch the times they've run Lodge to the outside and have had Brown line up on the inside. I think you're going to see that with those receivers on game days this fall.
Yeah, I'll throw three names out there, and they're all three newcomers. Jonathan Abram is a safety guy. You know, he came from Georgia, played at Jones County last year. You know, kind of he's had some experience. He played as a true freshman at Georgia. You know, he's a guy with a little bit of SEC experience already. He's coming in and really making an impact. Todd Grantham mentioned that he's one of the leaders on defense this year, despite just enrolling in January. And, you know, we saw some good things from him in the spring. Of course, saw some bad things too. He's the guy that ended the spring game with that huge hit and kind of blindsided some years. You know, pretty much a cheap shot on a guy that ended that spring game. So he's got some intensity, and you know, talking to safeties coach Ron English, he loves the guy. You know, he thinks that he's got a motor that just doesn't stop, and he's going to push. Yeah, even though Mississippi State has some experience coming back at safety, and Mark McLaurin and Brandon Bryant, he's pushing those guys for playing time. He's going to get on the field, probably has a chance to play all three of those guys at some chances, you know, using him in the nickelback spot. But, you know, he's a guy that I'm hearing great things from, probably see a lot of him this season. Another two players I want to mention are true freshmen. Willie Gay is really impressive, and he's playing that middle linebacker spot right behind Leo Lewis. And he's going to see the field probably as a true freshman. You know, Dan Mullen talked about that on signing day, about him being able to step on the field and contribute immediately. And so far, that's coming to fruition. They talked about just how physical he is, how much ready his body is, even as a freshman, to come in and play. And they're expecting a lot of big things from him. So you can probably see him playing some special teams and on that second wave of linebackers that kind of come through there. And another player, I'm not sure if he's going to play this year or not, but it's not due to lack of – he's not ready, and that's running back Kylan Hill out of Columbus, another four-star guy that Mississippi State signed. Kylan Hill, by all accounts, like I said, we're just going by what the players and coaches are telling us, has made some big plays out there for Mississippi State. The problem is, and this is coming from Dan Mullen, is Kylan Hill still is trying to learn that playbook. He's making some spectacular plays out there, but Dan Mullen wants to see consistency on regular plays, you know, working on pass blocking, pass protection. You know, he mentioned the other day that he's not really worried about all the spectacular plays from Kylan Hill as a running back, because he's got several running backs that are capable of doing that. He just wants a him to be able to go out there and not get somebody killed. I mean, that was his words. You know, he didn't want to get four or five guys out there and get them killed. So, because he missed a pass protection or something like that. So, he's still trying to learn the playbook. The good thing with Kylin Hill is they don't necessarily need him to play this year. They've got four capable running backs, Aris Williams, Dontavian Lee, Alec Murphy, Nick Gibson. All of those guys are going to, are ahead of him classification wise on the depth chart. And, that's four running backs. You should be able to be fine going through the season with four running backs. Now, granted, they've had some injuries at some positions in the past. And you look back to last year when you have two starting cornerbacks go down during fall camp, Tolando Cleveland and Cedric Giles, that's a big hurt on that position. But if they can keep those running backs healthy, I don't see a need to play Kylin Hill right away as a true freshman. I don't know how many carries he would get if he did play. Just the fact that they don't, there's only one football to go around with that running back group, and Nick Fitzgerald's going to run a lot too. So I don't necessarily think you need to play him this year. If it was me, I would redshirt him, even though he is probably ready and has the talent to play immediately as a true freshman. You don't necessarily need to.
I saw Logan, Mississippi State, circulated a video of turning on the hoses and getting the slip and slides going there at practice. And it looked like a lot of fun, man. Did they invite y'all out there?
They did not, surprisingly. Dan Mullen did invite us out to the farm. It was one of the first few days that they were out at the farm. And that's been probably the first time in about 4 years that we've been invited out to the farm. So it was neat to be back out there. And what they did with that slip and slide, they invited the Starkville Fire Department out there to provide the water. And they had some fun out there. And that's something he does. That was the last day of the farm, last day of fall camp for them. That was on Tuesday. They started classes yesterday on Wednesday. So, that was kind of the celebrating the end of training camp. And, they try to do something like that. Sometimes he has in the past got them to suit up for practice, took them all over to the farm, and then told them, hey, we're going bowling. So, he does some fun stuff with them sometimes. And, he tries to surprise them and do some fun things with them on occasion, just to kind of break up the monotony and break up the grind that is fall camp. And that was kind of his way of kind of celebrating the end of fall camp and getting ready for school to start.
Hey folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi with Derek Russell. And for a little while longer, Brad Locke too. And be sure to check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs with Dalton Middleton, and we'll be back with you next week for another round of Double Coverage.